Okay, so we'll open up the Gospel called John, 21st chapter. So we'll be looking at the Apostle Peter's life. And it's, you know, you could be doing the Word, you could be reading the Word, you could be memorizing Scripture, you could be praying for your family, you could be not breaking the Ten Commandments, right? But the rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ. He says, what am I lacking? What did Jesus Christ tell him?
Give everything away.
The one thing that I don't think anybody had ever pointed this out. In one of the Gospels, he says, what am I lacking? Now, how many people go to Christ and say, what am I lacking? Most people are like, hey, just don't turn the light on. Don't look behind me. It's like your house is dirty. Yeah. Don't come inside and look. But he did. He said, what am I lacking? And Christ says, give your stuff away. You follow me. The man at Decapolis who had legion in him, what did he want to do after he got delivered?
Wanted to go with him.
He wanted to follow him. What did Christ say?
Stay.
No, you minister to these people at Decapolis. Tell them what you have. So each one of us, what are you supposed to be doing? And he is waiting eagerly for us to get things done. And in my own life, a little... I'll pick on me for a second. Sometimes I'm not sure if Yahweh and Christ are talking to me until I rebel. Not out of malice. It just wasn't clear. I had a feeling I was supposed to do something. Well, that doesn't make sense. Then I don't do it. Then all of a sudden he's like, with me, you know what it is? It's not too late, Aaron. What? This is, why didn't you just tell me absolutely to do this? But it's not too late, or then I miss it, and I can do a 180, and this doesn't make sense. But recently, with one of the things that still doesn't make sense to me, I run a business, I own a business, I take care of a lot of people, and instead, I get up, I run in the morning, I pray for everybody, I do a song, I read scriptures, I do like 2 hours before work, you know, to get ready, and do what he had me to do. I want you to start training your abs in the morning before you go to work. Oh, because I got so much free time. I'm like, I'm already doing all this stuff, not just trying not to stress out before I go to work. Because I got to get to work, but I got to get him his time. And why do I do all that? Because he told me to do it. He communicated it. I want you to do these things. Between me and you. Well, my dad said I didn't have to do it. You do whatever you want. I told you what to do. My mom said she didn't understand it either. They're not supposed to understand it. What did I tell you to do, Aaron? But with me, one of the recent ones was, I want you to be doing this ab exercise, not at the gyms, but at home. Well, first of all, that's just vain. Why would you want me to work on my abs? I mean, because what do I need my abs for? What does that have to do with that? Why do I have to have my midsection that's all nice and tight and firm? That's vain. That doesn't make sense. And so I did it once. Then I went to the office. And when I got to the office, he was like, really? You're just going to show up and you... What'd I tell you to do? I'm like... that was you? And it wasn't clear. It still wasn't clear. And so I said, I apologize. I wasn't sure it was you. I'll train my abs at the gym. And I felt some peace about that the next day. Is every day, will you do what I told you to do? The only thing that I can think of is maybe I'm going to be in a car accident. My body's going to get mangled. And what's going to save me from it is having a very strong core. That's the only thing I can think of. The next thing with all that is I'm going to be sitting here in the morning. Well, I'll have a teaching off for 45 minutes of nothing but Telio's teachings. And then I'll speak in tongues for people the whole time. And he can I got to find some sort of profit for it. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter what I tell you or whether you guys agree with it. This is something I know I absolutely am supposed to do. Because when I don't do it, he reminds me. Especially when I need something. And so, does that make sense? No. And what he's going to ask you to do isn't going to make sense. Have you ever done that? You knew what you're supposed to do, so you went to somebody and got their counsel, and they said you didn't have to do it. You're like, well, okay, I guess I don't have to do it. Then you walk off, and later on, he's like, I don't care what they said, Mel. What did I tell you? You're like, oh, well, Granddad didn't make sense to him either. Of course it doesn't make sense. It makes faith. And so how do we do it? So for a lot of Christians, just to open their Bible is a big step of faith. This would be for mature believers, of him getting the most out of us. John chapter 21. And if I got some volunteers, we're going to read most of it. Well, I guess, yes. Would somebody read 21:1-3, please?
And after these things, Yahushua manifested himself again unto the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and manifested themselves thus. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, who was called Didymus, and Nathanael, who was from Canaan of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, We also go with thee. They went out and got up into the boat, and during that night they caught nothing.
Did Peter ask any of them to go fishing?
No.
No, they followed him. Then we're going to read on. They don't catch anything. Yehoshua appears. Did you guys catch any? No, we didn't catch any. Throw the net over here. They're going to catch fish. It's the Lord. It's Yehoshua. And they're going to run on. There's going to be a reunion. And what's neat about this is we're going to start off verse 14. If you guys would take turns reading, I appreciate it.
Read what?
Start at verse 14. So now, they haven't seen him. They did see him. He came back after the resurrection. In chapter 20, verse 17, he breathes on them and he goes, receive you Ruach HaKodesh, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm leaving, he's explaining, but the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, is going to come inside you. It's like all of you guys are going to have Wi-Fi internet. You'll be connected to everything. Great power, right? We don't understand that. And so anyways, and then he leaves and Peter goes, I'm going fishing, man. And then everybody follows him. What did Peter do wrong? Well, according to his companions, he didn't do anything wrong. Verse 14. Somebody read 14.
This already is third time Yahushua was manifested unto the disciples after he was raised.
Okay, so that's important. This is the third time. Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, died. He was resurrected, then he showed up, and he showed them, hey, it's him! That's one. And then here at the end of the Gospel of John, it appears that's the second time. He's eating with him, and he breathes on him, he eats with him. That's kind of neat. Sitting around a campfire, receive you, Holy Ruach, Ruach HaKodesh. And this is the third time. And okay, wouldn't that be neat for them? Wow, we're fishing, he's back again. It's like a celebrity appearance. But this third time, it's not going to be a fun time. The prophecy that came out of my mouth, I was not intending that, but with an athlete, in athletics or teachers, if you really want to succeed in life, you surround yourself with people that are sharper than you. You find a teacher that can get more out of you than you can get out of yourself. The coaches are that way. Personal trainers are like that. The teachers that you're not going to like in high school are usually the ones you're going to appreciate later on in life. They're like, they're not letting you, oh my God, get off my back. Hey, why are you always picking on Mel? Yahweh, through high school, appointed people that pulled me out of groups. I'm so thankful. I used to think I was getting picked on. Oh, how come everybody's picking on me? Yahweh is calling me out. There are people that wouldn't let me get away with stuff. And Christ inside of us, He wants to get more out of you than you understand. He wants you out of your comfort zone. And in my life, with training my abs, what does that have to do with anything? One day you're going to go before Jesus Christ. Did you do it? No. Why? It didn't make sense. Did speaking in tongues make sense? Didn't matter. You failed it. You failed it. There was one time in my life, and I try to explain, that I can go back about my own mistake. There was one night, I knew what I was supposed to do, but I was tired of giving because I was giving and giving and giving and giving. You guys ever been there? And it could have been. It really was giving. And Yahweh and Yehoshua wanted me to stay up and pray. I didn't. I said, no, I've done enough. The next morning I wake up, it was 9/11, terrorist attack in the United States. Christ lives inside of me. He's my roommate. He doesn't let me forget that. What did he tell me? Hey, Aaron, terrorists are attacking. No, he said, stay up. Don't be selfish. And here he was. I can imagine Jesus Christ with the guys that guarded Gethsemane. Can you not stay up for a little bit? You know, but anyways, in my own life, it doesn't make sense. But whatever he's asking you to do, it is profitable. He is always profitable. And if anything, divest yourself from trying to understand things. But live in communion with him and verify what he wants you to do. Then just stick with it. We're going to look at Peter went fishing. Now, he's getting ready to get confronted in front of everybody. You ever been humiliated? I can imagine with Peter, this was humiliating because this was a good thing. Things are going really well, and what's going to happen? This is a serious meeting. I need to talk to Peter. Well, wait a minute. I'm not the only one fishing here, boss. You and me. Now, if somebody would read 15 through 18.
When therefore they had broken their fast, Yahushua said unto Simon Peter, Simon the son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am fond of thee. He saith unto him, Be feeding my lambs. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon son of John, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am fond of thee. He saith unto him, Be shepherding my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, art thou fond of me? Peter was grieved that he said this unto him, and a third time art thou fond of me? And he said unto him, Lord, all these things thou knowest, thou perceivest that I am fond of thee. Yahushua said unto him, Be feeding my sheep. Keep going.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was younger, thou used to gird thyself and to walk whither thou didst choose. But when thou shalt become aged, thou shalt stretch out thy hand, and another shall gird thee and bear thee whither thou didst not choose. This was an intervention. This was a conflict. And I can imagine, was Peter authentic? Yes. Was he the real deal? You know I'll die for you. I cut off Malchus's ear. What do you mean, do I love you? I walked on water for you. Cast out demons for you. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? Yahushua knows what you've done for him. He wants to know what you're going to do now, in the future, this day. Yes, you've done some great things, Peter. But I got a lot of things to do for my father. Are you on board or not? And I really believe, growing up, if my dad couldn't remember something with seven kids, he'd take off his wedding ring and he'd put it on his finger as a reminder. Some people used to tie a string. You ever hear that? Anyway, we'd all get around to dinner, we'd be eating, blah, blah, and all of a sudden you look over, you see, oh, he's going to have a talk with somebody. And I remember looking and be like, don't make eye contact, because he's going to have a talk. And I imagine this dinner, as they're sitting there, they're eating. But this was not all pleasantries. Because Yahushua, why is he doing this? Because he doesn't know if Peter is on board. You haven't convinced me, Peter. I know what you did. I don't think you're on board, man. Does Jesus Christ have to produce faith? He's at the seat of the right hand. Yes. Does he know everything emphatically? No. Even Yahweh with Abraham, before he got killed Isaac, he goes, now I know, now I know, now, a moment in time, now I know. But I can think of, even at this dinner, there's a ring on this finger, and everybody's like, uh-oh, he's going to talk to somebody. Who is it? Again, Peter. Oh, thank God it wasn't me. Peter gets chewed out. What did Peter do? I'm fishing. Why are you picking on me? You ever have that feeling? You're picking on me? Because it's about your life that doesn't belong to you. Your life doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. What are you doing with it? And each one of you, what are you doing with it? Andrew Womack uses a scripture, I think it's 2 Corinthians, comparing yourself with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Compare yourself with Christ. And it'll keep you really humble. But anyway, here's Peter being crushed. You know all things. And I really believe at this point, it's not just a lesson where I'm going to really humiliate you. I'm not convinced. You ever had that as parents? You look at your kid, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. You look at each other going, I don't think it's settled in. I don't think it's settled in yet. Let me go think about it. And you're thinking, maybe you look at the kids, did they learn their lesson? Yeah, they're crying, but they always cry. Let's watch their behavior. And I believe, even here, Yahushua didn't know. The angels, the messengers, don't know. And they're watching, eagerly anticipating what's going on with Peter. Now, one of the best parts about this How old is Peter? We don't know. We know Jesus Christ was about 30. Peter could have been a 50-year-old man when you're younger, being humiliated possibly. And what does Peter do? Verse 22. Jesus said, verse 21, Peter therefore, seeing this one, saith unto Yehoshua, Lord, what's he got to do? Lord, and this one what? And Yehoshua looked at him, if I will that he remain until I come, what is it to thee? Do your job. And here's Peter. Peter was a real deal, and I believe that even in sports, parents could be the same way. You could be really hard on some, other ones, they're very delicate. And parents are going to learn, you can't be the same. But with Peter, he was a real thing. And I think he could be really hard on Peter, and I think he had to be hard on Peter. But here's Peter, quit worrying about other people. You do your job. Now turn to, Luke chapter 5. Was Peter sinning? No. What was Peter doing? Was he following the Ten Commandments? Yes. Was he excited? If you're living in sin, do you want to see Jesus Christ? No. Wait. Depart from me. Was Peter excited to see Jesus? Yes. He wasn't in sin, but he wasn't doing his job. Chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. We don't have to read the whole thing, but this is the first miraculous draw of fish. And what I like, verse 8, I'll turn to verse 6. And when this they had done, they enclosed a very large number of fish, and their nets began to break. And they made signs to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And Simon, beholding, fell down on his knees, Yehoshua saying, depart from me, because a sinful man am I, O Lord. The woman at the fountain that had a couple of husbands, she didn't say that. If you had sin in your life, Jesus Christ, you're going to be convicted. And Peter right here goes, I'm a sinful man. Remember the woman at the fountain goes, we're expecting the Samaritan woman? She didn't do that, but Peter did. For amazement overcame him and them who were with him on account of the draw of fish which they had taken. Likewise also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, who were the partners of Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, do not fear, henceforth shalt thou be taking men that they may live. Yehoshua said, you're going to be a fisherman from now on. James and John are there. Can we talk about these guys? No. Talking about you. You, Melania, Aaron, Chuck, Wendy, you. You and him. Because that's the only people that are going to be there at the resurrection. What did you do? They all abandoned me. They thought I was a quack. Did you do it? I did it. Well done, faithful servant. Worthy with little, worthy with much, right? Is it? And anyways, he was supposed to be feeding the sheep. Luke chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, lo, Satan or Satan hath claimed you to sift you as wheat. But I have entreated thee that thy faith may not fail. And thou, once thou hast turned, do what?
Strengthen thy brethren.
Strengthen your brethren. I'm not meaning to pick on Peter, okay? Because I can't compare myself to Peter. But we're going to look at Peter's life. What was he called to do? Peter, you? There's apostles, there's prophets, there's evangelists, there's overseers, teachers, there's housewives, there's cooks, there's janitors. There's many members in the body of Christ. Not everybody is to be a pastor or a theologian or you should be a Yahweh-logian, not theologian. Not everybody's going to be a president. You do your job. And if he called you to be a butler, be a butler. If he called you to do it, do it. But do your job. Peter called him to be fisher of men. And an interesting analogy about, I think in my business as a fisherman. But when you're fishing for fish, do you get to see all the things you're missing?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. So ignorance is bliss. When you're fishing for men, do you get rejected? and you see every fish you miss. Well, if you were fishing and you actually saw how many times you missed it, it'd be very disheartening. And I believe when you become a fisher of men, you're like, man, this isn't like regular fishing where I get the daydream. They reject me, they rejected me, they rejected me, and here's the rest of the stuff. But Peter was supposed to be a fisher of men, and Yehoshua warned him, the adversary wants you gone. He got a hit out on you, man. This isn't Hillary Clinton's going to suicide you. This is the boss of the boss. Mm-hmm. Peter, sober up, number one target. yeah. But I have prayed for you so that what?
Your faith.
You strengthen your brethren. So your faith doesn't fail, but you strengthen your brethren. And what did Peter do? We go back to John, is he went back to fishing. Why would he go back to fishing? I got bills to pay. And man, have I been there. I gotta pay my bills. I gotta go do these things. And here this was, I don't know what to do, and it wasn't clear. And if I was Peter, I would have done the same thing. It wasn't clear. Supposed to be a fisher of men. What are we going to do? But you'd be following me. Anyways, think about... I actually was meditating the other day. The whole thing with this, an encounter, a communication, was kind of communicated to me like a movie. And here it was with Peter. Going back to fishing. And Jesus Christ said, what did I teach you guys in Matthew 6? Obviously, he didn't say Matthew 6. Can anybody here recite Matthew 6, 31 through 33 and 34? Matthew 6, 31. Go ahead.
Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer. No, that's... That's Philippians. Be not anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow to anxious for itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof.
So you look at this, and Peter's being picked on because maybe it could be Peter's the toughest guy there is there. He could be really hard on Peter, and everybody else can learn through it. You guys might have had it with kids. You got one. We could be really rough on this one, and everybody else will get the drift. Jesus Christ is a perfect parent. And in this case, Peter, what did I tell you? The kingdom is the Bastilia. Is the reign of Yahweh. If you obey Yahweh, then He has reign in your life. If you don't obey Him, He doesn't have reign. If you're not doing the Word, He doesn't have reign in your life. Seek ye first His reign, His rule, then all these will be added. Peter, feed my sheep. That's how you have your bills paid. It's your new job. Here this is. Peter, and in my case, and so it'd be like, I got bills to pay the rest of the stuff, and Yahweh will show it. I'm going to show you how to... To not have, or have your bills paid. How's that? You're not going to work Sundays. That's Chick-fil-A. That doesn't make sense. How many weeks are there in a year?
52.
How many days are there in a month?
31.
Okay, so 52 days is how many months? A month and a half? So Chick-fil-A is going to work a month and a half less, and it's got to compete with McDonald's. Why? Well, it's faith. And here's Yahweh going, faith, 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 faith. You put me first, you will always succeed. Me first. Well, I tried what Chuck did or Wendy or Luke or Tom or Bob did. It didn't work. I didn't tell you to do that. I'll tell you what to do. And it's a personal relationship. Get on your knees and let's talk about it. And here he is, and he wants to exalt us and lift us up. Matthew chapter 6. Oh, I guess we already went there.
You said John.
No, I said Matthew 6, but we already went there. But seek ye first His rule and His righteousness, and all these things should be added into you. And to kind of go back to, here's Peter, be feeding my sheep, and here this thing is. And I really believe that Yehoshua didn't know. And here it was, is he going to do it? Is he not going to do it? I like to think of the angels watching the messengers going, I don't think he got it. And some people might, I think he got it. I don't know, we'll see. Peter's tough, yeah, but look how quickly he went back to fishing. You see his bills? You see this pressure he has? The last time they were in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ said, don't go back to Jerusalem. They're going to go back to Jerusalem. And I believe that on the day... we're going to read through it. When I was meditating on this, because I had to have my own bills paid. And when you spend 45 minutes more doing abs in the morning, that's not how you pay bills. It doesn't make sense. Who knows what it's for? But anyways, I believe that Yehoshua was watching Peter to see if he will. Do you really love me? Because in John 14:15 and John 15:14 says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Peter, you love me? Oh, yeah. Why are you fishing, man? I thought you said you love me. Do what I say. Scriptures first and then the Ruach second. But I believe Yehoshua, I imagine Yehoshua watching. How long had Yehoshua been at the right hand of the Father? Not long. This is going to be 50 days after Passover. He was a Passover lamb. How long is he? He's been the new guy, man. Jesus Christ still doesn't know where to park. He's in a new building. He's at seated at the right hand of the Father. Here he is with his new job. Here this is 50 days later. Hey, it's Peter again. Zoom in on him. And I like to think at the gate beautiful when Jesus Christ looks down and says, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. There's a song about this guy jumping up, singing and praising God. And I imagine, you guys ever heard this song? This guy dancing for the first time and singing. And I imagine Jesus Christ's heart singing, because now he knew, Peter, you do love me. Look at this, look at this. And he's looking at you and he's looking at me with our lives. In Acts 2, it said in 2 verse 14, I believe that was the first sign that Jesus Christ or Yehoshua knew that he does love me. Husband and a wife, do you do love me? Stop spending money. You do love me? Stop correcting me or stop doing this. You know I want you to do it. It's on the list. Or whatever the thing is or whatever the stuff is. But here it is. Peter in 2:14, take his stand. I think that was the first thing. Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the Ruach comes. 126 people are there. Jesus Christ, I like to think about the sacrifices. Yahweh would accept sacrifices with Moses. He did it with Noah. He did it with Elisha. And here, 50 days after his son died, were 120 sacrifices accepted. 120 perfect fires. A sweet smelling aroma to Yahweh. Look at these 120. They love me. Yes. And they got mocked. The adversaries, the same people that killed Jesus Christ in the room, they start mocking him. And then in verse 14, but taking his stand, Peter, with the 11, lifted up his voice and sounded out to them. And he gives them a sermon for the next page and a half, rebuking them. Pastors today, teachers today, are you doing 2 Timothy verse 4? Are you telling these people exactly what they want to hear? Their itching ears? Because that's not what Peter did. Feed my sheep really hurt their ears. Really hurt them. Today, a lot of pastors are going to say, we'll get around to that. Hey, you guys, no, that's not what he said. He put it right where you guys, we waited 4,000 years for Jesus Christ, the Son, the seed of the woman to come. He was born, he was resurrected, he came, and then you murdered him. It wasn't the Assyrians. You murdered him. And what did he do? It wasn't itching ears. I knew he had it in him. Here's Peter. And in verse, let's see here, 37. What happens? Man, he was not massaging their ears, not telling what they wanted to hear. You can imagine the adversary watching. You can imagine the angels watching too. If they can't watch, didn't say they can't, go on. He's a dead man. Are you kidding me? Dead! In verse 37, and when they heard this, they were pricked to the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, what are we to do, brethren? If you don't confront people to say repent, how can they know to get down on their knees and get right with their Father? Peter did not do what pastors do today most of the time. This is not the itching ears. That's how you feed the sheep. You tell them what I told you to do. And then we'll read back, and then in verse chapter 3, we'll read the account. If somebody would read 3 verse 1 through 8, I think.
Now, Peter and John were going up into the temple for the hour of prayer of the morning. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they used to lay daily at the door of the temple, the door called Beautiful, that he might ask alms of them who were entering into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, were requesting to receive the alms. But Peter, looking steadfastly at him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, the same unto thee do I give. In the name of Yahushua Mashiach, the Nazarene, walk." And laying hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and instantly were his feet and ankles strengthened. And leaping forward, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh.
I like to think about, can you imagine the heart of that man?
Yeah.
And the people, for the right people that were just confused watching that, can you imagine them weeping? Would you weep?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now think about Jesus Christ's heart, Yehoshua. I knew that. This is a 70-yard field goal. This is, and you think about how thin that line is with Peter being killed. He's in Jerusalem, you who slew the prophets. Hey, boss, remember you said, Jerusalem, you who slew the prophets. You sure we don't skip Pentecost this year? No, go. Here this whole thing is, but I can imagine Yehoshua's heart. Just, he did it! He did it! In sports, and it could be the same with books and movies. You get to see this pressure that was meant to crush and destroy somebody. With Yahweh and Christ creates the best leaders and stories we ever heard of. Winston Churchill was like that. Gets nominated prime minister. His wife goes, "You've been dreaming this your whole life." And he said, "Yeah, but I think they just elected me captain of a sinking ship." He didn't know how it was going to work out. Neither will you. But here's our Father looking at you and looking at me going, "Do you love me? Then you do what I tell you." And be ready when people don't understand, because people didn't understand Peter. And Peter could have justified his life, and guess what would have happened? Eventually, Jesus Christ stopped showing up. You're not wasting his time.
Yeah.
But in this case, and then you get to read about thousands of people, and I think about Jesus Christ being the head coach, calling these things out. We're just watching something about Tom Brady as a rookie, and here's Belichick in the 2001 Super Bowl when they win it. And they finally get back there, all pro, $100 million quarterbacks ready to go. Here's Tom Brady, this fifth round draft pick, and Belichick goes, "No, we're going with Tom Brady." You guys, that doesn't make sense to you guys, but that makes no sense to anybody going into it. But he had it. Tom Brady comes to the best quarterback ever. I can think you see Jesus Christ looking at Peter like that. He's looking at you and looking at me. Because you got what it takes. People don't understand it. It could be doing whatever. You say, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Please confirm it and please confront me. Please confront me, Yehoshua and Yahweh, when I'm not doing what you want, you did." Because Peter did it again in the book of Galatians with Peter through Paul. And so Peter did amazing things, and so will you. And just imagine you making Jesus Christ's heart dance for joy like the man at the gate Beautiful when you fulfill your calling in Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these words that you can speak through me, because your perfect Son and you made it available that I could receive. So I thank you that you tell me to covet to prophesy, 1 Corinthians 14, so that we can hear from you. My sons and daughters, though that my plans are perfect and that I am really, really good, it doesn't matter what you're looking at, I can compensate. I'm the best compensator you can ever imagine. Things will be lost, people will come and go, people will disappoint you, but I can always compensate. Memorize that thought. It doesn't matter what comes, doesn't matter what was stolen, look back to me and I'll compensate you for whatever's been lost, and I'll make obedience well worth it. Amen.